Welcome, Concafé, for the 29th day of January, year of our Lord, 2024. So glad you could join us. We're looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39 in the ESV version, English Standard Version of the Bible. I know this is throwing off some people, expecting NIV or the Message or Revised Standard. I used it for what I sent out on Saturday or Friday about what causes fog. If you read that, I hope you were blessed by it. But I forgot to change it, and I liked the way it reads, and so we'll be hearing it in that version. And you're free to follow along in whatever version of the Bible you love and have right there at your disposal. And it I always forget to say, if you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'll get you a Bible. No one should be without a Bible. And worse, no one should have a Bible and not read it. Dust it off and read it. Here it is, Mark chapter 1. But only if you're ready to get into God's Word. Are you ready to get into God's Word? I am. Verse 29. And immediately he, Jesus, left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. Immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her. And she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This, dear friends, is the word of God. For the people of God, we say gracias a Dios. Thanks be to God. Well, dear friend, may the blessings of the Lord fall gently on you and bring you peace. This is the gospel reading for the last Sunday of Epiphany, with the following Sunday being the transfiguration of our Lord. And then, believe it or not, we get into Lent, that time of preparation for Easter. I want to share with you an update on our brother Scott Bradford. He's still under observation for heart issues. But he passed a kidney stone. On top of all this, poor guy was suffering, he had a kidney stone, but he passed that. He was at home resting. He took today, this is Sunday that I'm recording this, he took today off. So please continue to be for our friend, asking God's comfort and peace be with him and with his family. Also for Mr. Gilbert Tagle's wife, Alma Arevalo, she shared with us that Gilbert went into cardiac arrest on Tuesday morning of this past week there at their home. He's hospitalized in ICU. They're keeping him sedated and intubated for now, but doctors are hoping that as they gradually bring him out of sedation, he'll have good responses. So let that be part of our prayer. She also shares that he's undergone several tests to determine the extent of organ and brain function, and for now it's a time to wait and hope and pray for favorable results. Our trust is in the Lord, and we sincerely thank all of you for your prayers. And that's closing the quotes from our sister Alma Arevalo. Please continue to pray for Gilbert, Alma, and all who are praying for him. This passage reminded me of a certain church in my district who once spent a good amount of money remaking their entrance. And they made a big deal about it. I should add that this renovation happened before I arrived on the scene as their district superintendent. When I went in to meet the church, they made a big show of that entrance. I asked them if they made a big deal about their going out. You know, we can make a big deal about gathering, but we seldom make a big deal about going out into the mission field, into where the work is, where God wants us to be. It'll be some years later that I received a younger pastor into our district at a bigger church, and he was the one that came up with folks at the end of the sermon, at the end after, right before the benediction. He'd say, folks, I'm going to invite you to turn and face the mission field. Yes, and people griped about it because there's such a tight space between pews if you were in that kind of setting. So everybody would go, oh, here, do we have to? Yes. And then he said, because that is where our work begins and where we will find what we need to do. And in this passage, that is exactly what we're seeing. Jesus and others had gathered for worship to be instructed and to do all that was part of their worship life on that Sabbath. But it wasn't until Jesus went out of the worship area to the home, Simon's home, where there was a need, that he began his ministry of service. Many jokingly wonder why Jesus chose to heal and make well a mother-in-law. But that was where the need was. And again, I always say, man, I had the best mother-in-law in the world. She loved me. She treated me even better than her own son. And I love her and miss her very much. But Jesus saw the need, and Jesus met the need. To have a fever in those days was a serious, very serious concern, very similar to parents of their firstborn baby. Whenever that baby gets a fever, if you don't believe me, ask my wife and ask me about it. The very first time our baby girl had a fever, we freaked out. Now, to have a fever was serious. But Simon Peter loved his mother-in-law. And so he tells Jesus immediately about her illness, and Jesus heals her. Some have even suggested, well, Peter knew that if she didn't get better, somebody else in the house was going to cook, and he preferred her cooking. That's why he wanted her well. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but the scripture does say she got well immediately, and she began to serve them. Now, that day ended at sundown, and many brought their sick to this home so that they could be healed by Jesus. Those who were oppressed by demons were also brought to Jesus so that he could set them free. And soon, I'm quoting, the whole city was gathered together at the door of Simon Peter's house. I should say that house is still standing. It had to be excavated, and they have this beautiful steel and glass ceiling over so you can see into where that house is. And there's, of course, a big cathedral right next to it. You can't actually go into the house, but it's so wonderful to see. This is where that healing took place, where Simon brought to Jesus' attention his mother-in-law's illness and where all these people gathered to have their sick healed. Now, all the diseases, all the demons were dealt with. Finally, Jesus had to find a place to rest, for much was the work that he had done. And there he prayed. This is how he rested, by praying. This was his recharging, renewal, refreshing. And soon Simon, the other disciples are looking for him. They find him. They call him. Everyone's looking for you. Jesus returns and starts his ministry in neighboring towns. Our ministry, your ministry and mine, should be a ministry of service. And that ministry of service can begin only when we realize we must step outside our comfort zones. We must go beyond that which can and usually does lull us into inactivity or to falling asleep spiritually. Let's go beyond the routines to encounter the needs of the world around us. Yes, we gather and do enjoy and need fellowship, but when we spend all our time just doing fellowship, we're neglecting the perishing. And we may lose them for all eternity if we don't turn to face them to rescue them. Let our prayers ask God to make us aware of the needs all around us and to show us how best to reach them. Jesus' model, the way he lived, the way he ministered, teaches us to make time to pray, even in the midst of serving others, so that we can prioritize our spiritual life. Prayer is that fuel, brothers and sisters, that sustains us and guides us into action. May our prayers also show us how to best share the message of hope with all people. Ours is a message of love and grace from God, meant to be shared with the whole world. May our thoughts, words, and actions reflect that with all people. Let's pray. Loving God, let us be a blessing to those in need. Help us be the blessing that brings love, hope, and peace from God. May our lives become vessels of service to all people. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Friend, have a great and blessed day in the Lord. Here's your call to action. Let us carry within us the spirit of service as exemplified by Jesus. May we be attentive to the needs around us, offering compassion and hope wherever we go. Thank you for tuning in. Please like and subscribe. Please do whatever necessary to let people know this is a place to be blessed. This is a ministry that seeks to win the world for Jesus Christ. Please know that I love you. I thank God for you, and I pray the Lord bless you and keep you now and always. Amen.